Killer Innovations Podcast for Sunday, May 15th, 2005, from warm and humid Bali, Indonesia. Welcome to the Killer Innovations Podcast. I'm Phil McKinney, your host. Please keep in mind that the opinions expressed during this podcast are mine and mine alone and do not reflect those of my past, current, or future employers. If you'd like more information on topics covered during the podcast, please visit killerinnovations.com or send me an email at podcast@killerinnovations.com. On today's podcast, we're going to change the format slightly. This past week, I had an opportunity to interview two college students who created a company called Brain Reactions that leverages the creativity of students to create breakthrough ideas for the corporate customers. The guys at Brain Reactions had reached out and contacted me via the podcast through the email address, and I've had a series of conversations with them by phone and by email, and I think what they're doing is actually an excellent example of really taking what I'm hoping the benefit of a podcast such as this and others, such as the Eureka podcast and some of the others that deal with creativity, and actually taking it and applying this. Anand Chadfar, who's the CEO, and Nate Altfeather, who's the Chief Creative Officer, are both students at University of Wisconsin-Madison. Anand comes from a background with creativity and innovation. The fire kind of got ignited with him during a summer internship. Came back to the University of Wisconsin and has put together a program at University of Wisconsin with the students, and they're actually supporting a number of corporate customers. And based on the conversations that I've had with them and the energy that these two have, I just thought it would be of immense benefit for all the listeners of the podcast to kind of hear what they're doing, hear how they're applying it, and just learn about what they're specifically doing. So in place of the innovation tools and the weak signals segments that we normally have in the podcast, I'm going to share with you a phone interview that I did with Anand and Nate last week. And then at the end, after the interview, then we'll discuss the killer innovation question of the week. So without delay, here's the phone interview with the founders of Brain Reactions.
Nate and Anand, thanks for joining us today on the Killer Innovations podcast. Anand, you've been sending me emails back and forth a couple times and give me some background on your company, Brain Reactions. And I thought it'd be good for the listeners of the podcast to hear more about it. So during our previous conversation, you were sharing some of your history, and Nate, you also, as far as how you guys kind of got into the interest of the whole innovation and creativity. Why don't you share just a few minutes on kind of your backgrounds and how you got to the point of founding Brain Reactions?
Yes, definitely, Phil. Basically, my history with the innovations field started when I joined the Concept Studio on the East Coast. This is a division within Pitney Bowes that works on the front end of innovation. We did a lot of customer-centric research like ethnography, and then we focused on brainstorming new ideas, then creating rapid prototypes and doing validation for the prototypes before these ideas were fed into the product development pipeline. Basically, during the two summers that I worked there, I got a lot of background and developed a deep interest in innovation and brainstorming and the application of creativity to the product development process. When I came back to school after that, I entered some invention contests on school and basically demonstrated how that is applied even at the student level. So it gave me a good chance to learn the practical aspects of the whole process.
So you were doing this at Pitney Bowes while you were a student still?
Yes.
Kind of a summer internship?
Yes, I did two summer internships at the Constitution.
Okay. So then how did you and Nate meet?
We actually met at the contest. So when I participated at the innovation contest in the engineering school here,
Explain to listeners where here is. I don't think we've kind of given
yes.
the background
okay.
of where you guys are located at.
We are at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. And the engineering school here has an annual invention contest. It's called the Schuft Prize for Creativity.
And so that's how you and Nate then met?
That's where we met. And Nate actually won the contest, the first prize.
Oh. Well, congratulations,
that's how I
Nate.
Got introduced to.
So, Nate, then what's your background as far as getting interested in this? Was this something that you'd been involved in for quite some time, or was this just the contest you entered and then you and I met and kind of found a partner in crime? Or
yeah, it's close to being along those lines. I've always had a real competitive nature when it comes to thinking and problem solving, and like Anand, I also had some experiences interning as a student, but unlike Anand, my experiences didn't nurture innovation. They made me aware of the fact that when you go get a real-life job, they like to call them, it seems that you get further and further away from having influence on thinking of the problem and solving and coming up with the solution to the challenge, and you become more of a specialist in being a part of somebody else's solution. And I didn't want to do that. I knew all along that I needed to be happy, somebody who was up front dealing with the actual solution itself and helping come up with those ideas. And also, when I was in college, I was a rower here at UW-Madison, and it's one of my founding principles is that you always continue to face yourself with challenges, and that's where innovation comes from. And so I can tell you when you're out in the water at 5 in the morning and there's ice chunks floating by and you're being yelled at by your coach, you're faced with plenty of challenges. And I actually entered into the invention competition a design for a rowing training tool, and that's the design that I won with.
So your real objective was trying not to be out there freezing to death on the water in the morning, right?
Yeah, and to prove that my way of rowing was the best.
Prove the coach wrong, right?
Yeah, that everyone else was wrong, because it was funny, is every single rower out there thinks theirs is the best. So you sit there, you're not allowed to talk, and you're staring at those people around you, and you're like, how is he screwing up? How can I show him he's screwing up? And that drove me to create this device, and I entered it into this competition, and like Anand said, I won the competition. But I was always in awe with Anand because he didn't win the competition. They told him that his idea, you know, wasn't worth pursuing and wasn't going to work, and he went on to turn it into a true company, and he and his partner of that business were selling in 72 retail stores in Turkey that product after the judges told him it wouldn't work. And
That's a perfect example of never listen to the skeptics, right?
Exactly.
When you have the idea. So how did you guys come to form then Brain Reactions? What was the need you guys saw as far as why Brain Reactions? And maybe give a little bit to the listeners, you know, maybe, you know, 30 seconds on what you guys do with Brain Reactions. But how did you guys found it?
So basically, when I came back to school after my internships and having learned the whole brainstorming process, I used to enjoy that a lot. And I used to organize small brainstorms with my group of friends. These were select friends that I used to talk to, you know, after classes and people from the contest. And we used to just brainstorm on common problems and have a lot of fun in the process.
And eat pizza.
And actually, yes, and have pizza and soda. It's mandatory at every school party.
That's right. You gotta have the food, right?
Definitely. And Nate was invited to one such brainstorm. We were brainstorming on new applications for video conferencing and video walls.
So let me get this right. You were holding, rather than holding the traditional college party, you were holding brainstorming parties.
That's right.
Okay, you're definitely a different bird.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different kind of it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's a different kind of a situation to see all these excited young students, and each of them has, you know, the whole competitive spirit of giving a one better idea than the other person. And they kind of build off of each other, and it's a lot of fun to see that.
So then what? Brain Reactions then is what? You're bringing together students then to help brainstorm for corporate clients, correct?
Yes, absolutely. what we do is essentially, given a challenge definition, a problem statement, we bring together the perfect group of idea generators, we call them, to come up with new ideas, new concepts, to inspire our corporate clients to think out of the box.
Okay, so why students, though? I mean, there's a lot of companies out there, whether it be IDEO or any of the other innovation kind of companies that are out there that do this in a profession, but they all have kind of their employees driving this. But in your case, you're using students. So what's the difference on the student approach to using them as the source of the ideas?
So there are several reasons. One of them is that we find students are less constrained. They are at the stage in life where they have a lot of imagination and they haven't yet worked in the real world, which kind of beats that imagination down. They haven't become too specialized to kind of think in one particular way. So less tainted thinking. They have definitely a lot more time to delve into five different subject areas in five different departments throughout the day, and they have a lot of stimulus. So they are able to make a lot of connections that easily come to them, you know, without having to think too hard, because they're active consumers, they participate in all the latest technology trends, and they definitely haven't, you know, been kind of beat down by the real world.
Yeah, they haven't been taught all the negative habits those
right.
of us in the corporate world have learned, right?
And one of the things that I really realized as a student when I went go for the summers to work within a big Fortune 500 company for an internship is when I came back to school in the fall, I looked back at the summer and I realized I wasn't inspired during the summer. I didn't have new ideas. I was always looking at the clock. I was specialized in entering the data and regressing it against other data. But when I came to school, every single day I had ideas. And I was writing them down. I was drawing them in my sketchbook because your teachers are constantly telling you about problems. You know, here's where the state of the art is. So your mind is like, well, how can I do this? And students are very competitive. Just like Anand said, they haven't been told no. They've had their parents raising them, and you know moms, they tell their kids they're the best, that they're the brightest, the smartest. So every
thank
kid
God
thinks,
for moms, right?
Yeah, they think they're the best, they all want to prove it. And so they all sit around and have all this stimulus and have all these ideas. And when I was in the real world, quote, real world, I lost that, even myself, and I consider myself a very, very active and imaginative thinker, so...
So what are the steps? So you're working with corporate clients and you're leveraging this creativity pool of students on campus. So what are the steps with regards to going through a customer project? What are kind of what's the process that you guys use?
Well, typically we start with some phone calls with the client to get some background and contextual information about the challenge. We come up with what we call the problem statement, but it's really a challenge definition because some of the brainstorms might be more open-ended. What we try to get from the customers is exactly what they are looking to get from the brainstorm. Try to get to the heart of, you know, what is the solution that they seek and, you know, what are the constraints around it. We also, you know, ask them questions about what they have tried in the past, you know, what they thought was a good idea before, but they later backed away from it for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
And, based on our conversation with the client, we come up with some challenge definitions that we get approved from the client. And once we have those, we select the group of students from our pool. We have over 200 screened idea generators now from different departments on campus. And we select the right group to come in and hold the session, the whole brainstorm.
So how do you go through the selection process? You were sharing with me before that you actually... You know, as the output, you measure the level of innovation or the productivity of innovation that these students bring. So therefore,
yes.
You can actually rank students based on their inventiveness, I guess, is one way to put it,
yes.
And then make sure that you have the right diversity. Maybe explain that a little bit.
So essentially, we get nominations, first of all, from professors and TAs and other instructors and also, we find students from contests, such as, you know, the invention contest I talked about before. There are other contests on campus, such as there's a business plan contest in the business school. There's a filmmaking contest where people make independent films in the film school. And we find all these creative contests, and the people, once they are nominated, are invited to trial brainstorms. we give them a hard problem to solve and see how well they brainstorm in a group. We gather very detailed profiles from each student, which includes their interests, expertise, achievements, even their daily schedules. and then we also have a lot of statistics on, you know, the number of new ideas they came up with, the number of builds, and, you know, what percentage was that in terms of contribution to the brainstorm.
Right, so what you mean by build, you mean they built on other people's ideas that came up during the session?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. That's it helps, it adds to the synergy score. Because we find that actually one of the best ways to develop ideas further is to do the build. You know, when you are in a brainstorm and somebody comes up with a new idea, it sparks off like 3 or 4 other ideas in other people, and you can immediately see the people around the particular starting idea sort of spark off, which is what leads to the chain reaction of ideas, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name, chain reaction. I think Nate might have more to add to that.
Well, Anand really hit it on the head. One of the things that we really focus on is the synergy of the group, and there's a lot to our scoring process that is proprietary or trade secret, and we use that to make the group that really gels and make sure we have people who can express their creativity and express their ideas. That's very important.
So, Nate, you guys are a firm believer that it isn't just a haphazard throw people together, but that you can actually orchestrate the group to optimize the output then.
Oh, definitely. And, it was confirmed with one of our last clients. They were just astounded. This is a company that was quite familiar with creativity, ideation sessions, and brainstorming. They were astounded at the number of ideas we were able to come up with these students, and that they were not having to do any crazy tricks, or we weren't having to throw Nerf balls at them. The variety and intensity of the ideas was just awesome. And it's because we find the students who have the Nerf balls and the stuff in their head, even though we do provide toys and stuff for people to play with, they've got it. They have it. And so when you put 12 of those people together, it's just an inferno of ideas. It's just great.
So what's the output from one of these sessions? So you've gone through the process with the customer, you've done the problem definition, now you've run the session. What's the output? What does the customer get back in return at the output of the session?
So when we do the brainstorming session, we record the whole session on video, and the customer gets a DVD of the brainstorm that's edited to be fast-paced, and we add in sketches and animations of some of the best ideas that we find the most inspiring. We also include a written report, which has an executive summary, which includes themes that we saw come out in the brainstorm. We also have a complete ideas list, and the illustrations help to make the ideas concrete, I think.
So who are some of the customers that are using, that are working with Brain Reactions then? Who are some of the companies you've done some of these sessions for?
Yeah, well, some of the biggest clients we have right now are Bank of America. They're on the East Coast. We have, from the West Coast, we have Intuit, which is a software company. We just completed a brainstorm for Quantum Learning Network, which Nate was talking about. And we have a couple of companies in the Midwest. Some of them are actually very related to the field of innovation. There's a company called Inventables. We've also done some brainstorms for non-profit clients that are more famous. There's the United Way.
Oh, really?
Yes, and locally we've worked with the Fire Department of Madison, and they were really happy with the output as well.
Excellent. So what's next? You're doing Brain Reactions there at University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yes.
You've got your pool of students there. So what's the future look like for Brain Reactions?
So, well, we are starting to expand our operations in terms of just getting to new campuses. We have sort of started talking about a possible franchising model to expand to other campuses. And the main focus right now is, because I'm graduating in a week and I'll be full-time working for Brain Reactions now, it's time to get more structured in terms of marketing. So far, all the clients we've had have been referred to us, or you know, we've been referred to them. It's all word of mouth, and we believe that the service is useful enough that we want to get the word out there to, you know, all the major companies that would find this valuable.
So if someone wants to follow up with brain reactions, how's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
There's a contact form on our website, brainreactions.com. You can also reach us by phone at 608-335-0791. And there's also, you can send an email to info@brainreactions.com.
This week's killer question is going to build on the question that we asked last week. As a refresher, for those of you who may not have listened, or it's been an entire week and sometimes the memory doesn't work all that well, last week's killer question focused on two specific areas. One was, could you customize a mass product, or could you mass produce a custom product? This week's killer question asks, can I produce a product in real time or in-house? So again, this week's killer question is, can I produce the product in real time or in-house? And this has obvious benefit for the traditional hard goods kind of companies, where inventory is produced, put on trucks, boats, airplanes, and shipped to the locations where the customers can go purchase it. And lately we've seen a big shift towards having the customer be able to literally produce the item themselves in their home, or go to the retail outlet, or go to where they can procure the item and have it produced there, or have it customized there on-site. So some examples. Let's take photos. And I remember as a kid growing up, going to summer camp, taking my little 110 camera, taking my pictures, coming back, and then running down to the local hobby shop to get my pictures printed so that I can show my family and friends what I did at summer camp. And it was pretty painful to wait those 10 days to 2 weeks before I could get my prints back. And at that time, you know, that was pretty much the standard time. Nobody knew that there was another alternative. Then we saw the advent of the one-hour photo shops, where you can literally drop off your film, come back an hour later, and now you have your photos that you can enjoy and share with others. And then lately, we've seen the advent of digital photography, where now I can take my digital camera, take the picture, take out the media, the little SD card or whatever the media is in the device, stick it into my PC, or stick it in my printer directly, and now I can literally print that picture minutes after I've taken the photo. I mean, recently my wife and I hosted a baby shower for my brother-in-law and his wife, who are expecting their first. And we literally brought a digital camera, a little printer. We took photographs, and we literally printed the photographs, and the people who were at the party were able to walk out with photos in their hand of the party so they could immediately show it to their friends or have that, you know, memory of what happened at the baby shower. And I thought that was kind of a unique twist to the traditional take photographs and then may or may not be able to share those with everybody who attended. Recently, we've also seen similar activities around music CDs, where you can go in, literally pick the tracks you want, and have the music CD burned, printed with the image, put into a sleeve, and literally walk out with it 3 to 5 minutes after you've had the experience of creating the tracks. We've also seen some early trials of the same kind of concept around DVDs. Blockbuster had one a number of years ago where you would go in on a touch screen, pick the DVD you want, and it would literally burn the DVD right there on the spot. The benefit for that on the DVD side was much more towards Blockbuster than for the customer. Blockbuster wanting to get away from having to buy and inventory DVDs that you may want to purchase or even may want to rent. But the consumer literally then had to go in, wait in line to these kiosks, select it, print, you know, wait for it to get burned, versus walking around the shelf, reading the back page of the DVD experience, and walking out. So I think that was one of the reasons why I don't think we're seeing quite the advent of it on the DVD side as much as we're seeing on the music side, where rather than buying a CD that has, you know, 12, 14 songs on it, of which only three or four I'm really interested in, and now I, as a consumer, can produce a CD that has 14 tracks, all of which that I like. And again, I think this gets back to the focus on the benefit. Yes, there are benefits to any innovation approach to the business, but ultimately it's the customer who is going to vote with their money as to whether or not the innovation is of value to them. So again, the question this week is, can I produce the product in real time or in-house? An interesting question, and hopefully it helps spark some ideas for you and your business. And with that, we're going to wrap up this week. Thank you for listening. Please give me feedback on the interview. I'm interested in doing other kinds of interviews with other listeners. I've been contacted by a number of people who are involved in the creativity and innovation space, either with their own businesses or have excellent examples of how they're applying innovation to their day-to-day jobs. And so I'd like to include more interviews, not as a replacement for the normal segments, but maybe once a month do an interview with a listener or with somebody in the industry. So if you found the interview today interesting and of benefit, please let me know. Send an email to podcast@killerinnovations.com, and I appreciate that feedback. Also, for future shows, I'm looking to set up a segment where I will answer questions from listeners. Now, a number of you have sent me emails, and I've replied back to those, but I find it a little bit hard just to kind of read an email and answer it. So what I want to do is I want to try to see if we can't set up a segment whereby I can respond to customers' questions that are actually phoned in. So if you have a question that you think or that you would like to answer or pose that for inclusion in a future show, please phone the feedback line at 1-703-636-4460. Again, that's 703-636-4460. Or if you want, send me an audio file with the question to the email address, and then I'll include it in a future podcast and answer that. Okay? As always, send email to podcast@killerinnovations.com. Also, you can visit killerinnovations.com for the show notes for information on how to any of the items that we cover in today's show. Also, don't forget to vote at podcastalley.com. Last month, based on the votes from you as the listeners, the show was ranked in the top 100. I really do appreciate that. It helps with listeners searching for shows. When they can see comments and voting from other listeners of a show that's of value. Also, next week's show, I will be in Bangkok, Thailand, as I continue my three-week trip through Asia Pacific. So assuming that I have broadband connection in Bangkok, I'll be uploading the show next weekend from there. And in between, if I come across something that's interesting from the standpoint of innovation, weak signals, or just observations that I have in the region, I'll pass those along. And again, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.